two sheets coming around, so make sure you get both. So, the mitzvah of tzitzit is a very important mitzvah. Of course, we read the parasha every day in Kriyat Shema. And it says, the goal of tzitzit is, u'ri'item oto, u'zichartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, va'asitem otam. I don't know if guys have ever noticed that we mentioned the same goal twice. The goal is, as the Gemara summarizes in Menachot Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, "Ruitemato zechartem vaasitem, leman tizkeru vaasitem, ruia mivyali de zechira, zechira." To create a mindset that leads us to doing mitzvot. What's interesting is that the second time there's an additional phrase in Pasuk Mem. Leman tizkiru va'asitem et kol mitzvotai v'hiitem kedoshim l'Elohechem. Zichira, riya brings to zichira, brings to asiya, which brings to kedusha. Chazal accentuated this mitzvah by saying, if you look in the Sifri, "Ruitem oto zechartem magid shekol makayim mitzvah tzitzit ma'alim alav ki'ilu kiyem kol mitzvot." Very strong. Back to Gemara Menachot, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Kol hazorez b'mitzvah zo zoche u'mekabel pnei hashchina." Careful in this mitzvah, you're zorez in this mitzvah, you're mekabel pnei hashchina. Rav Meir in the Sifri, I think, explains the connection to the Shechina in more detail. Where he says, "Kol mekayim mitzvah tzitzit ma'alim elav ki'ilu hikpil pnei Shechina she hatchela doma liyam v'yam doma l'rakia v'arakia doma l'kisei hakavod." Meaning, the connection of tzitzit to mekabel pnei Shechina is through the similarity in color of the tchelet to the yam and the yam to the rakia. Interestingly, it doesn't say that the tchelet is similar to the kisei hakavod, or that the tchelet is similar to the rakia. It says that the tchelet is similar to the yam, which is similar to the rakia. It's interesting because you should go all the way. Okay. In any case, this is the significance of the mitzvah, and particularly the tchelet part of the mitzvah. Now, the central halachic iyun question in this mitzvah is the relationship between its components. It's a unique mitzvah in that there's more than one component. Where else do we have a mitzvah to use an object that has more than one component?
Lulav,
right? Someone else said something? Tefillin? Where else? You talk about the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Marah, assuming that they're taken together, right? Now, one can discuss the relationship between these components. I'm only jealous, Gideon, because my hands are dry.
Yeah.
I want to get some cream, too.
I'm not finished,
so
I had access.
You got to think of me also when you get yourself cream. Okay, I'm looking at you and I'm thinking of both of us. Now, of course, Hannah is using the orange hand treatment.
Stinks.
It's just you peel an orange. It may stink, but it makes your hands, you know, gooey. Which is better than dry. Disc, what do you think of the orange hands treatment?
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. Oh, busted. Okay. Anyway. This question is a question that needs to ask by all mitzvot that have more than one component, both in the conceptual level, the relationship between the components, and on the formal level, and assumably they're connected, to what extent the components stand as part of one mitzvah, or the possibility of there being different mitzvot. The Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah, Mitzvah Yudalid, counts them as one mitzvah and rejects the possibility of counting them as two. The reason he had to reject it is because there were those who disagreed. Rav Daniel HaBavli is quoted as holding that there are two mitzvot, and the truth is, the basis for this would be the fact that the tchelet is not ma'akev the lavan is ma'akev the tchelet, Mishnah Menachot, which is presented next to the fact that the tefillin shel yad is not ma'akev shel rosh, and vice versa. So what does this imply about one mitzvah versus two mitzvot? And there are many who count tefillin as two mitzvot. So Rambam's son, Avraham ben Arambam, he distinguished by saying, tefillin is two mitzvot because each one is its own kiyum. Tzitzit, practically, is one physical object in the end composed of two, and it's one kiyum hamitzvah. I think that this Shita of the Rambam can be understood in light of how the Rambam understood the relationship in practice and in concept between Lavan and Chelek. I think the Rambam understood them as one kiyum because he understood them as having a certain type of relationship, which I'd like to explore now. What is the relationship between the two? What does the pasuk say? It says, "Vesulam tzitzit al kanfei v'gdehem l'dotam v'natanu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet." Right? And by the way, people when they read, they know this. "Abayu v'nishvam v'sulam tzitzit al kanfei v'gdehem l'dotam v'natanu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet." That's not good, because the way it was read is v'natanu al tzitzit hakanaf, and you put on the strings of the corner, right? Petil techelet. So people destroy the pasuk. V'natenu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet. We learned something, right? It's just funny to hear people saying that again. If people were saying in English, you would laugh at them. So that's why if you say it loud enough, Israelis will laugh at you. Well, not necessarily, because they may not know like biblical Hebrew what it means. V'natenu al tzitzit hakanaf, and you put on the strings of the corner, and you put on the strings of the corner, so it can get wacky. In any case, what does v'natenu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet mean? So one could translate al as meaning in addition to. For example, if you look at page 2, we say in the parsha of the Mishkan, the second source, v'yavo ha'anashim al hanashim kol nadiv lev, etc. Does it mean the men came on top of the women? What does it mean they came with the women? Women came and men came. There's white strings and there's blue string, right? White strings, blue strings, we all scream for. It's just strings. The Ravid seems to have understood it this way. The Ravid says, top source, Vaday mitzvah lahakdim lovin l'tcheles. You have to put the white on first. Hava bishim mina. The Torah amr al tzitzit hakanaf petil tcheles. Lo'olam atchelet yavo al tzitzit hakanaf klamar she'ah tcheles achron bo. Meaning you add the tcheles to the white. But that's all it means. Literally, though, we know the word al generally means on top of. That's indeed how Targum Yonason explains it here. Al anpa guliton. So this implies some kind of special role, not in addition to, but on top of. The other word that connects to the same question is the word petil. What does the word petil techelet? V'natenu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet. So the Mishkanot Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Mikarlin, so he says there's really two ways you could understand it. There's two ways you can understand the word petil. One is like the word hit patlut, which means a string that spins, a string that's woven. That seems to be the way the Sifri understands it. The Sifri says, next source, v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet tavui v'shazur, spun round. Okay, in which case it's halacha in the strings. In fact, it's halacha in the blue strings and the white strings. The Sifri goes on to say, "Ingli l'tchelet, petil tchelet, tavoi v'shazer, lavan minayin, harei atadon, hol v'amr Torah tein tchelet v'tein lavan, ma tchelet tavoi v'shazer, af lavan tavoi v'shazer." Okay. The Rambam, though, disagrees with this, because the Rambam holds there isn't a chiyuv to make the strings spun. The Rambam says, tzitzis aleph yud, echad chutei lavan v'echad chutei tchelet, imratza la'asot shezurin osa. If you want to make it spun out of a number of strings, you can. The chiddush in the Rambam is that you can, but that you don't have to. So how do you understand the word petil? I think the Rambam understood petil otherwise, and this is the second understanding of the Mishkanot Yaakov. The Rambam says, "Tzitzis perek aleph halacha beis, v'lochin chut semer shenitzpa ke'en erekia v'korichin oto al hanaf, and you wrap it around the strings." He mentions this factor again in halacha gimel. Petil, the string that wraps around. The string that wraps around. The Rambam, in fact, explains in Simen Reish Pei Vav in his Shutim, and we'll see this later more at length, that you have only one of the eight strings being out of blue. Ulefi shaha mitzvah shel tchelet shiyeh aptil kulo tchelet. Basically, the tchelet is not one of the strings. The tchelet is part of the string that serves to wrap around the other strings so that the wrappings are blue. This seems to be the backdrop of how the chinuch explains the deeper significance of tchelet. explains the meaning of the mitzvah. He says, "Ein davar ba'olam yoter tov l'zikaron kamo nosei chotem adonav kavua b'ksuto." There's nothing better as a reminder of who you are than carrying the sign of your master on the clothing you wear constantly. And he says in the second paragraph, what's the unique significance of the tchelet? "Hatchelet asher eino ke'ein harakia yirmoz l'nefesh shehi min ha'elyonim." Tchelet meant to remind us of the soul, which is part of the upper world. But Bnei Kain, in the end, he says, Tzitzit is meant to represent the supremacy of the soul over body. Body is the simple white, the soul is the blue connected to the skies. So again, the blue that's wrapping around the white, the uniqueness of the blue, is in the fact that it wraps around the white. There are a number of nafkaminot of this question. Of course, that would be the explanation of Rambam Treat. Why is Rambam holding one mitzvah? Because ultimately the tchelet is meant to define and wrap around the white. It's not a separate mitzvah, it's not two strings parallel to each other. What are the nafkaminot of this question? Number one, what color should the wrappings be? If you look at page 3, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes in Menachos tells us, towards the bottom, Tana, Kishu matchil, when you begin wrapping, matchil bilavon. Because it says hakanaf, it has to be min kanaf, the color of the side. So meaning the strings are supposed to be the same color as the beged. So if you have a green beged, the strings should be green. Right, so generally the beged's white, the strings are white, so you start off wrapping with white. Ukishu misayin misayin belovon. The fact that it says you start and end with lovin seems to imply that at least some of the other ones are going to be blue. So Rashi says, min kanaf tchilet v'achar kach p'til tchilet. So definitely there are some wrappings that are blue. Question is, how many? How many are white and how many are blue? So here there are two shittas in the Rishonim. The Gonim seem to have held that you alternate. There are two ways to alternate. The Ravid here, next source, quotes Rav Natran Oigon, who says that you alternate wrappings. When I say a wrapping, I mean one circle around. Make one circle in white, and one circle in blue. One circle in white, one circle in blue. The Rav Amram Gon, quoted by Tosos and Daf Lamed Tes, the next source, he says you go unit by unit, chulia by chulia, white, blue, white, blue, common denominator being the alternating. The explanation could be, the Gemara says that the wrappings with blue are meant to remind you of the Sheva Rakiyim, seven skies. So if you want to have seven distinct skies, you need seven blues and in between six whites, which would be 13, which is the number mentioned in the Gemara. So you should have alternating seven skies. Okay, that makes sense. The Rambam, though, disagrees. The Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, says that all of the wrappings, with the exception of the first kricha and the last kricha, are made in blue. This would explain, by the way, the fact that the Gemara, bottom of page 3, says that you have to have a separation between each chulia. You have to have a tie so that each chulia is separate. Now, if they're all blue, you can see why you want to make ties in between so that you could distinguish them. Because if they were blue and white, you would have them distinguished by the fact that they're blue and white. Interestingly, Rav Amram Gon doesn't paskin the need for this, which makes sense because, according to him, they're blue and white. So the Ravid asks on the Rambam, I don't understand. He says, Zeh seder ein lo shorish velo anaf, which is a pun on the word by tzitzis. Lama yoter betchelet mi belavon shehu min kanaf. And it rhymes. Why use more blue than the white, which is the color of the beged? I think the answer for Rambam is l'shitaso. The Rambam understands that that is the unique tafkid that the Torah gives the blue to be the wrapper. It's wrapper blue. It's blue fringe. I mean, the fringe is white, but it's blue fringe because you wrap it around. That's what the blue is supposed to be. So it doesn't make sense to say you should use white. That's its whole role. Before we take questions, let me just finish presenting the nafkamino. The second nafkamino is the number of tchelet strings. The Mishnah on the top of page 4 quotes Machlokes Beisilu Beishami whether there are 3 or 4 strings bechlal in the tzitzis. We pass in, of course, 4. Gemara there mentions. How many of these 4 strings, 4 which become 8, should be out of tchelet? So Rashi and Tosa say 2 strings, 2 which become 4. That's indeed what we find in the Sifri here. Which makes sense if you're seeing the tchelet as additional to the white. V'natnu al tzitzit ha-kanaf b'til tchelet. In addition, you have white strings, you have blue strings. If you have white strings and blue strings, you should have 2 of each, right? White strings, blue strings, white strings. Strings are blue, those are strings, right? You should have 2 of each. Makes sense. Tosfos explains Misvara Svarahu lashvosam. He doesn't explain in Daf Mem Aleph, but in Daf Lamed Chet he elaborates. Kevin the train mini by Rachmana. Since the Torah requires two species, svarahu sheyushavim mistama, they should be equal. The Ravid has a shita in between. The Ravid says one of the four strings, which makes two of the eight, should be blue. L'chora, this is what also appears in the Sifri here, toward the bottom of page 4. Could say petil techelet. The petil means one string. The Rambam, though, has a unique shita. Some of the Gaonim held this way as well, that 1/8 should be blue. Why? So again, I think it makes sense for the shitasa, which is that the purpose of the blue is to wrap around. So you have the minimum blue, which is a half a string, because that you're using half the string to wrap around it. The other half is going to be down and be white. So that what goes down shouldn't be blue. It should be it should be white. Last but not least, I just want to finish presenting the implications of this question, close up our conceptual discussion of Tzitzis, and then we'll get to the Tchelis part, that, you know, the reason you guys wanted to have the shiur. So you want just to hear Chakiris about Tzitzis, and why, although it's interesting, right? No? Yeah. Good stuff, right? Interesting. Okay. I think there's a focus for this discussion in the Gemara itself. And that is the sugya on Daf Lamed Ches, which appears on page 5. The question of Ikuv actually begins in the bottom of page 4. The Mishnah says in Menachos Daf Lamed Ches that the Tcheles is not makiv the Lovin is not makiv the Tcheles. We saw this Mishnah before. The Gemara begins by saying Leiva Masnisim Daloki Rebbe. Maybe the Mishnah is against Rebbe. The Tanya Uisim Oso Malamich Makvin says Divrei Rebbe. The Chamer Ain Makvin. Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chamer. So the Gemara suggests our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. We don't like this, of course. So Rava says towards the bottom of the page, Amar Rava Lo Nitzvacha Ela Legardumin the Igardum Tcheles V'Koy Lovin. The Yigardum Lavan V'Chotelas Les Lanba. Meaning that our Mishnah could be even according to Rebbe. When does Rebbe say they're ma'akev each other? When you're tying them. You have to have blue and white to tie. But if you tied them blue and white and now they got cut off, and now all you have is white or blue, that's okay. Means the difference between what's needed when you make the tzitzis versus what's needed to be left on the tzitzis. We find this distinction often, right? It's said to be a certain length when you make them, but if they get cut off, there's a certain minimum size. So a lot of people ask the kasha on the Rambam from here, masha from here, that without the white, you put just a tchelet, which doesn't make sense according to the Rambam, because the tchelet isn't a string, right? How can you say that the white isn't makiv the tchelet? What would the tchelet be without the white, if the whole purpose of the tchelet is to just wrap around? That's a good kasha, no? The answer is that the Rambam had a different understanding of this Gemara. And this is really where it all comes out. What's the different understanding? Rambam, top of page 5. Rambam says, Tcheles einu ma'akivis ha'lovan, ha'lovan einu ma'akivis ha'tcheles. Ketzat. Harei she'en lo tcheles, ose lovan levado. V'cheinim asa lovan v'tcheles, v'nifsak ha'lovan v'nismayet ad ha'kanaf, v'nishar ha'tchelet levado kasha. How does the Rambam explain the fact that they're not ma'akev each other? Does he explain the white and the blue in a similar parallel way? When he talks about doing the white without the blue, how does he describe it? Ketzah. If you don't have tcheles, you do the love and levado, right? But then when he gets to the love on not being ma'akev the tcheles,
he says that together.
Because if you already made them, and now the white got cut off, right? You can leave it. Why doesn't he say, v'chein, the same case, you can make the blue without the white, because that's the shitasa, you can't make the blue without the white. There's nothing to make. The lack of ikuv of white on blue is only once you've made them and the white gets cut off. I think the basis for it is Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in the Gemara, the Rif quotes this. Okay. This sugi, I think, is the basis of where it comes from, the fact that there isn't a parallel in the ikuv. The tcheled not being ma'akev, the lavan refers to making it. The lavan not being ma'akev the tchelet refers only to once it gets cut off, because it's not shayach to make tchelet without lavan, because the tchelet is only wrapping around the lavan. So in any case, that's just understanding the conceptual relationship between the white and the blue. Now we're going to get to the question of how you make tchelet and whether we have it today. Yes?
Is the stuff of Gemara says initially about the galus of tzitzis?
Yeah.
Does that apply even if there's no tcheles there?
Good question. Particularly the stuff that's dom l'yam, dom l'rakia, right? Interesting, though.
resting upon white clouds, sky.
See?
And that's why
very
Rashi,
clear water, right?
That's why, according to Rashi, you have you got 613. So that's another. It's, since we don't have to finish.
We find some other reminder.
Yeah, find some other reminder.
Pretty sad replacement, then. Yes.
If you don't hold like Rambam, is it possible that we're wearing four-cornered garments that are problematic?
Why?
Because if we're not wearing sittas.
Rambam agrees that the love is
not. If you're not holding like the. Rambam.
Everyone agrees that. You mean if you hold like Rebbe?
Yeah. We're like.
That one, they mocked at each other?
Yeah. Is the problem that we're wearing a four-corner garment problematic?
I don't know what people say according to Rebbe. Okay, so. The Tchelet is made from the Chilazon. It's mentioned in the Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Beis and Daf Mem Dalet mentions that they use the Chilazon. The Tosefta adds that Tchelet is Ein Kshera Ela Min HaChilazon. Not just that they used to use the Chilazon, but that it must be from the Chilazon. This Tosefta is mentioned by the Big Day Kahuna, which leaves open the possibility that maybe it's only Ma'akeh for Big Day Kahuna, but not for Tzitzis. The Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Beis and Mem Beis talks about how Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda had a test that he would use to see if blue was made out of tcheles or made out of kala ilan. He would test it by seeing how strongly embedded the color was, which seems to imply that it has to be dafka the chilazon, which is how Rashi and Tosfos explain that sugya. It has to be dafka the chilazon. Alternatively, one could say that it has to be a color that stays well, which chilazon blue was as opposed to kala ilan, which would open up the possibility of saying it's not a din in the source of the color, but the quality of the color, right? The Urim seems to say this. The Urim on the bottom of page 5 says there's a svara to use Adam HaChilazon because it stays well. But basically, whatever stays well is good. There are those who want to be medayik. This is from the Rambam on the top of page 6. Because the Rambam, when he presents Tcheles, he says, Tcheles Hamur B'Torah, Nechol Mokom, He had Semer HaTzavua, Kipatuch Sheva Kachol. Describes the color. And Halacha Beis, he said they use the chilazon. So the order of things seems to be that it has to be this kind of tseva, and they use the chilazon. I'm not so sure that the Diak and Rambam is correct. One could talk about it, but in any case, it's generally assumed that it has to be from the chilazon. What is the chilazon? So the Radzina Rebbe, you're probably familiar, Rav Gershon Chanoch Liner, in 1887 he decided to do research into this, and he decided, after much research, that the tchelet came from a certain squid called the Scipia officialis. In case you're, researching squids. The squid shoots out a black ink, and this ink is the tchelet. And his chassidim wear it till today, the ink from the squid. Radzina tchelet, it's called. The problems with this usage were, number one, it was found that the dye in its natural form would not stick in wool. I mean, what didn't work to dye wool. In addition, it wasn't really blue. It was black. So the Radziners found that when they mixed in certain chemicals, it A, became possible to use it with wool, and B, it was blue. So Rav Herzog, the chief rabbi of Israel, he did his doctorate. He was a biochemist. He did his doctorate in London, in England, or Scotland?
Ireland.
The chief rabbi of Ireland. Did his doctorate in Ireland on tcheles. 1913, he took specimens of this to chemists, and they proved that there was nothing about the color that was actually blue. Meaning, basically, it was the chemicals they were adding that made it blue. And you could take materials from any fish, and even things that weren't fish, and add these chemicals, and it would be
blue.
Which kind of like you wonder then, is it really something special then? So Rav Herzog himself suggested another fish. He also found problems with this. Number one, there was no basis for the suggestion. He admitted. And number two, even the thing he found didn't successfully dye wool. So there was a third option that he considered. I'll speak about why he didn't think this was the option. And this third option is the option that people who dye tchelet today use. Not the Radziners use the squid, like I said. And this is, the third option are murex. It's a type of snail. that was called in ancient times the porphyra. That's how it was referred to, not just in Jewish language, in Greek. And we have records of the Romans and Greeks using this for dyeing. Josephus tells us that this was the snail that they used for dyeing in the Mikdash. And we know that the Tchelet of the Tzitzis is supposed to be the same as the Bigdei Kohuna. In addition, we have found wolves from the time of Bais Sheni dyed with this dye of this snail. In addition, they found piles and piles of the shells of this snail in the area of Tzur and Sidon and Tzur in Lebanon, near the coast. The area which Chazal say was where the Chilazon was captured. If you look at the first source, number 2, Shabbos Daf Chavav Mad Aleph, Yogvim Elu Tzeidei Chalazon Misulamot Shol Tzur V'Ab Chefa. So they found sites where these things are piled up. In addition, the Rav Yah quotes Yerushalmi, which identifies Tchelet as Porphyron. In addition, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hem and Aleph tells us that the Chilazon, the dye comes out better when it's still alive than when it's dead, within a certain context there of Sikumesh de Lomichale, which is the Metzias with this snail. So now we have two options. You ready for the two options? Option number 1 is that the Murex is what they use to dye Tchelet. That's supported by the fact that we have testimony to the fact that it was used in the Mikdash. We have archaeological evidence of wool that was dyed with this Tchelet and piles of these shells. That's option number 1. Option number 2 is there were 2 things used to dye Tchelet. One we have a lot of records for, that's not the real Tchelet. And then there's another one that we have no records for whatsoever, that's totally unknown, and that was the one that was used. Not very likely. Is it likely that there was some other Tchelet used to dye that we have no record of whatsoever? Not historical, not archaeological, not we haven't found any wolves dyed with some other source of Tchelet. And this is why people believe that this is the source of the real Tchelet. Another basis for this is the fact that the Gemara tells us that the Tchelet looked like Kala Ilan, right? Remember, they use tests because it looked the same and people could use it as a trick. The Aruch tells us that Kala Ilan is indigo. We know what that color is. Indigo. What color is the dye from the Murex? Indigo. And it looks exactly like indigo. So Dafka, from what the Gemara says Tchelet was indistinguishable with, makes it seem like this is the real Tchelet. Why did Rav Herzog not accept this as Tchelet? Number 1, the color of the shell of this murex, of this snail, is whitish brown and not blue. That's a big problem considering the fact that the Tchelet is supposed to be Dome. The Chilazon is supposed to be Dome Liyam. It says that, if you look here at the the one we saw before, it's supposed to be Dome Aliyah.
The Chilazon itself is supposed to be
Dome. That's what Gemara says. It looks kegufo shel yam. It looks kegufo shel yam. It's hard to distinguish it from the sea. Find that Gemara. Just one second. Sorry.
It means from the sea bed.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, maybe
it means like the sand.
Oh, find that Gemara first. Just find that Gemara first. 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute. That it's hard to find. It's hard to find it because it looks like the seabed. Arg. Okay, add that Gemara. The Gemara said it's hard to find it because it looks like the seabed. So the answer that people give is that when this snail is in nature in the sea, it's covered by all kinds of moss and stuff used as camouflage to look like the seabed. It's not distinguishable from the seabed, which is why it was hard to capture. Second of all, the color, as you mentioned, is indigo. Tchelet is supposed to be bluish. What people have found is that when you take the Tchelet and keep it out in the sun, it turns blue. It looks like the way it's supposed to look, indigo. So that's why people believe that this is the Tchelet. So now the question is, all right, you believe it. Maybe you're wrong. The reason most people who wear Tchelet is because the Gemara tells us that if you're wrong, it's not a problem. How do we see this? The Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Amud Aleph, fourth source to the bottom of page 6, talks about Kala Ilan. The Gemara says we have all these Xeros because of Kala Ilan. So the Gemara asks, what's the problem with Kala Ilan? V'lo yehe ela lavan. Right? Let's say you use Kala Ilan by mistake, so it shouldn't be any less than just a white string. So the Gemara answers what it answers to explain why they made this Xero. Or in other words, if you have the wrong color, it's not a problem, it's still kosher. The wrong tchelet doesn't passel the tzitzis. That's why people say, what do you have to lose? The main problem people quote is not that maybe it's wrong, but the concept of misora. Right? Meaning, we had a misora, got cut off. We don't know, we don't do things that we don't know from our misora. And the truth is, we have a concept like this. We have it by kosher birds. Even though the Torah tells us to see manim for kosher birds, anyone knows what they are? The reason people don't know what they are. What
can't
is
be a bird
what,
of prey.
What is the size? What I'm talking about?
Bird of prey. It can't be.
Yeah, well, how do you know? That's actually the svara given for the signs. It talks about the claws and the.
Just gives a list.
Explain it that way. And you even know the list. Why is it fish? What are the signs for fish? Animals. Split whose truth is cut. What's pshat? Because Gemara explains that by birds you need a misora. Meaning, we only eat birds that we have a misora that they're kosher, irrespective of the signs. That's why there's some people don't eat turkey.
Sure.
Because of that reason. So we know there are things that go by misora. But the truth is that most things don't go by misora. Hello? Ken, ani b'shiur. Ani b'shiur. תגיד לו שאני אפגוש אותו בבית מדרש בעוד 3 דקות אחרי השיעור. 3 דקות, כן. תודה. שישארת קורא. שישארת. You never calls me. It must be like an earthquake in the base medrash. Someone moved him out of his seat or something. Really? Get back to the point. Mr. Blue. Right, give me some. So there are areas where we have this concept, but the truth is that's an exception. Most places we go by the signs, right? Fish, animals. Is there any reason to believe that Tchelet should be dependent on a Mesorah? Some of Salvejah quoted this from the Beis HaLevi, from his grandfather, his great-grandfather. But, you know, we don't have a basis for this.
The bird is the only thing in like, halakha based on Mesorah?
Mm-hmm. Where we don't go by, you know,
Simple.
We don't go by whatever the law is.
Besides kashrut, I mean.
Yeah, Mesorah is generally that kind of Mesorah, that is. Everything's a Mesorah, right? But I mean the Mesorah of what it is as opposed to the Svaris. Now the truth is there are very few things where we've lost a halacha, we've lost the, you know, the identification. Some could say that the question of Tchelet is similar, it's part of the context of the general reawakening, trying to rebuild Judaism properly, Zionism parallel to the question. There definitely is, on the spirit level, something similar to that, right? But in practice, it's a pure halachic question. Which is why there are people who wear tefillin who are not Zionists. It's a question of being able to do the halacha properly. So that's why I wear tefillin. That's why I think many people wear tefillin. And I feel nothing to lose. Now, ultimately, like with all other issues, you have to have a rabbi. You have to have a rabbi. You have to have a rabbi because you don't pass halacha on your own. You have to ask your rabbi. At least now you understand the issues behind it. People are asking about tying tefillin. So the Gemara only speaks about tying tchelet, it doesn't speak about tying white, which is why there's so many different customs about how to tie white, because the Gemara doesn't talk about it. Each of the customs have different explanations, and how you tie is not ma'akev. That it be tied is ma'akev. How you tie is not ma'akev. The reason many people who wear tchelet wear what's called the Rambam ties is because the Rambam talks about how to tie tchelet. His understanding of the Gemara. He also held that the way you tie white is the same as how you would tie tchelet. So basically, a lot of people tie tchelet the way the Rambam says to tie white, which is the way he says to tie tchelet. Some people tie it the same way they tie the white. It's not ma'akev. Which strings to use? Not exactly sure why it became so accepted to use the Rambam Tcheles. Could be because the assumption is that the Shulchan Aruch would build off the Rambam. Of course, would Ashkenazim disagree with the Shulchan Aruch? They generally disagreed when they had a minhag. If they theoretically would have had a minhag, it would have been based on Tosfos. You know? So you can see how, you know, the conceptual question of do we paskin like the way Tosfos would have paskin, or do we go by Ashkenazi minhag, and only then do we go against the Rambam? That's why some people use Rambam. There are people who say we would have passed like Tosfos. They use Tosfos. They have one string, two strings. That's how the different things come up. Okay, questions? Yes.
How can you tie? You can tie like the Rambam, but not hold like him in terms of the number of strings.
I think that's a little bit of a steer within the concepts. You know, I use Rambam strings to tie like the Rambam. I don't know if there are people who use Rambam strings to tie like the Rambam. I think that there definitely is a steer on the concept. With me, the Rambam has a shita, which makes sense within his picture. Not possible, going to it, right? Zach, you were first, but you put your hand down. Yes.
Did you answer my question?
See that? I'm happy to have answered.
Great.
Just sorry to get the opportunity to give you the chance to ask. I apologize for that. Stealing your thunder. Stolen thunder. Yes.
The actual tying, the way people tie the Rambam, it's not necessarily the actual way. Like in Mishnah Torah, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like you tie, you do three strings, you do it not.
The question is what the Kishra means. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that the way people tie Tehillim today is the way the Yemenites tie based on the Rambam. At least how they've understood the Rambam for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think why is because it doesn't say the Kishra in the later parts. The Kishra once, it means just like dipping it under, that could be the Kesha. Yes?
You said before though something about seven.
If you're interested, by the way, there's a website called Petil Tehillim. Tiltel.com.coil. If you do a search for Tiltel, you'll find it. And on the website, they have a wealth of information and pictures and different ways of tying and everything you could possibly want. In addition, they did a test of the color of Tchele. You know, they have a thing called nanometers, you know, color scale. And it came out to be 613 nanometers, which is
true.
The ultimate proof that it's really Tchele. You with me, Avrich? How many nanometers, Avrich? 613. Yes, Josh.
You said before about seven blues, like seven eyes with separations, start with the white, end with the white. So, but then things about the tie is not makif.
The tie is not makif, correct.
So, what is all that stuff then?
It's a better way to do it. We have a lot of chatchilas and best ways to do things, right?
Oh, so.
The Gemara is saying the ideal way to do it.
Aren't there many, many people like Gedolim also who don't tie today? Is that just because they feel that Mesorah is lost and they feel
you have to ask each person? People would either say they don't really believe it's the proofs aren't real proofs, Mesorah, or a combination of the both. You with me? I think it's just people take some time to get used to something that the rabbis didn't do.
But what was the basis?
I know the Rav Lichtenstein when they first asked him, goes, "No, absolutely not. It's the advanced Mesorah." I think by today he just says it's too hard for me to put it on. That's very different than saying, you know, because ultimately, like, why not? People like Rav Schechter who go with what they see. You with me? This is right, so, okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you prove to tomorrow, Rav Schechter tomorrow that you're not allowed to eat french fries, you'd stop eating french fries. You with me? You look into the sugar of milk and it makes sense to him that it should be not kosher, and that's it. No more. You think Hannah could stop eating oranges if he decided tomorrow that he wouldn't be able to control himself? Knocking down towers.
What was the basis for the Beit HaLevi saying that it's based on Mesorah?
What was the basis?
Like, why did he say that this is something in the category of Mesorah?
Maybe he felt that everything's in the category of Mesorah. I think that's what he felt. You understand what I'm saying? Everything's based. Beit HaLevi was, of course, responding to the Red Zener, who lived in his time. But I'm happy to have more topical shiurs on topics that people want us to address, you know, happy, whatever. I suggest this is our last question and answer. Hopefully, fulfilled your request.
I think it was actually Fagin, but
was Fagin?
Zach Fagin.
I thought
for
it was
this
you.
We asked at the same time. I asked for this, and he asked for a question and answer. No.
Nope.
Okay. So then,
Zach, he's trying to make you feel better now that you had your question, thunder question stolen.
I apologize.
Thunder class. Yes.
Okay. This is just like a question that I don't know if you can answer, but if the Beis HaLevi knew what we know now about what the right tchelos is, and like, do you think he would have said the same thing?
I think no.
What does the Beis
HaLevi from what his, you know, grandchildren, etc., portray? Of course, it's hard to know with the chicken and egg, you know, with that thing, but only things that come out of Mishka Svaris. Yes?
If a tie, would someone be allowed to come along and like decide that he thinks that this is the best way to tie and tie it? I don't mean like a rabbi, like a regular stomp guy.
I mean, you could. That's not the way we do things. We try and do things based upon the best way as they
right.
come from Chazal, right?
If the tie is not ma'akev, then someone can say
right, it wouldn't be ma'akev. We try to do things right. It's also not ma'akev to have a lot of other things in Judaism. Right? We try to do things the best possible way. Yes?
There is an opinion that says that there is sort of to say that you don't just need to be tefillahs, just needs a stick, like you mentioned.
Just needs a stick?
Yeah, no, just needs to be a blue card that sticks.
No, we talked about the possibility of the uraim.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it.
So why not just like take a Sharpie and make it...
Well, you have to have the right color Sharpie. Now again, most of the Sharpie hold that it has to be Ashi Tosol, it has to be the Chilazot. Okay, Adkan, very nice. Ishkoyev, welcome back. Cool.
What happened
to the
RCA thing?
There's a special RCA program here tomorrow about Machlokas. There'll be different shiur going on so people can sit in on what they'd like. I'm giving shiur at 5 o'clock on the topic of the Elu Velu Divir Elu Kim Chaim.
Are we allowed to
rabbi? As I'm concerned, you can come.
Are we paying?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's free.